Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It makes you feel like you just want to explode. Those situations where you found that someone has done you wrong. Someone has sinned against you. And you take it personally. You think, don't tell me not to take it personally because this is personal. There are those situations where we're dealing with relationships. And in relationships, things are personal. We're talking about family, friendship, fellowship. And in these areas, it should be personal. We're not just talking about a business deal. We take it personally, and when we're wrong, it hurts. How much more so with God? How much more so when God is the one who's wronged? How much more so when God is the one who breathes life into this world and then sees that life wasted? How much more so as God knits you together in his womb, in the womb of your mother, and then sees things not go according to plan? How much more does God take things personally? God's relationship with this creation is not just a matter of business. It's not just an experiment. It's a personal relationship. In our sermon today, we'll see how personal this is for God as he takes it into his own hands to reconcile us to himself. We'll see firstly how he's reconciled the world personally to himself, how he pleads through the church personally, and then finally, how he gives this personally to you. A young man was wondering how personal it was for his father and how he could ever make it right again. This young man was sitting in the mud. He was sitting in the mud and digging through the scraps that the pigs were fighting over. It was all that he had left, just those scraps, because everything else had been wasted. It had been over a year now since he left his father behind, since he left his faith behind, since he left his family and the farm behind. And now he was off on his own. The economy had taken a bad turn. He had enjoyed as much as he could, as fast as he could, and now it was gone. And all that was left were the scraps that the pigs were eating. As he wonders how he could make it right. What would happen if he went back to his father after he had asked to take a third of the farm with him? And he went and he wasted it all. He wonders what it would take to make it right. Could he become his father's servant and work the rest of his life to somehow try to make up for what he'd done? What will it take to make things right with God? What can the world offer God to make things right? The word reconciliation pictures a business deal. Originally, it was a term used to refer to a business exchange. A deal being made. How do you feel when someone makes a business deal with you that goes bad? Someone tells you, invest a third of your income into this enterprise that I'm setting up here. It's a great deal. You invest your money, and 5 years down the road, you're going to be rich. It's going to make lots of money for you. But all the while, the paperwork, the talk, it's all just a show. There's no real deal. There's no real promise. And there goes a third of your money wasted. What's it going to take to make things right with this business investor? Maybe your money back? maybe some interest. Will you ever do business with him again? The word reconciliation pictures that business deal being made right again. But the thing is when we're talking about God, it's more than just a business deal. And it's more than just money. The world has wasted what God has given to it. He gave freely of himself to create this world, and he's watched it just be wasted. Wasted away. He's listened to our conversations, in our marriages, at work. He's watched as we've done and said things, in secret, in public. He's known our every thought, the evil desires we've had. What's it going to take to make this right when he's been wronged? Because the problem is it's more than a business deal, and we can't just offer money. We know that in personal relationships, say that it was your friend who was the one who made the bad deal with you, who you trusted, and who broke that trust. We know it takes more than just money to make it right. So for God, it takes more. And he knows the world can never offer him what could really make this right. And so he has to offer it himself. He has to take it into his own hands to make this deal right. So he makes him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Our text comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. This is the word of God. And this is what God's business is all about. It's all about this personal issue of reconciling the world to himself. And in Christ Jesus, he has taken the whole world, all sin, all evil, all sickness, all pain, all death, into Christ, and on the cross made the deal right. He made him who knew no sin, who knew nothing of this mess, who knew nothing of straying from his father's ways, to be sin for us. To, as the banners say, suffer for us, to be crucified for us, to die for us, to be buried for us. And so he has reconciled the world to himself personally. But the young man wonders how he can know he can really go back. Yes, he knows in general that his father is forgiving, that he is a loving father, but can he really be sure when he goes back he's going to have some kind of a good welcome? Will his father accept the deal that he wants to make? He wonders what will happen. God knows that we are going to be wondering this. When we come back to God, for how many times? How many times is it that we've come back? And he knows we're going to be wondering what he's going to say, how we're going to be received at church this week. So he sends out ambassadors. As Paul writes, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God sends out ambassadors, pastors and teachers and fellow Christians who are in your midst, pleading with you. God is pleading with you. Be reconciled. Be right. Imagine that you had offended the President of the United States. You'd done something awful to embarrass him, to wrong him, to bring about a bad rumor about him. You've wronged the most powerful person in all the United States, and there you are at home, and all of a sudden you get a knock on the door. And in come his representatives, his staff, his military. And as they come, they say, "We need to talk to you." And they sit down and they tell you, "The president has decided he wants to forgive you. He wants to make this right. He wants you to come up to the White House because he wants to tell you personally." Now, would you sit there and ask those representatives to beg? Just tell them, "No, I'm not quite sure about this. Now, can you tell me that again? And I really want you to tell me it sincerely now." But that's just what God is doing in his ambassadors, his pastors, his teachers. He's begging you. He's not just telling you and you reject it and they go their other way, but he's coming again and again, telling you again and again, "This is my ministry. Be reconciled to God." Personally. It is a personal thing for him. And that's what sets him apart from all other gods, because you need to have this given to you personally. You can imagine that God is merciful to the world. But what about to you, individually, when you actually get there to meet him face to face, that you know personally and individually he's going to love you and be gracious to you? If you were approaching another god, you might not feel so sure. Take the God of the Muslim faith, for example. Allah. I went to a presentation down at the Batavia Public Library recently where they were doing a question and answer on the topic of Islam, where they were presenting what the religion is about and how it compares to Christianity. And I went down to that question and answer, and when it was over, I had even more questions than I had answers. So I wanted to go and talk to the presenters. I was anxious to go and ask them some more questions. And as the people started to dwindle away, I found myself in a conversation. It was me, another Christian, and Mazur. She was one of the presenters, a middle-aged Muslim mother, layperson. She was wearing a beautiful blue dress and a shawl over her head. Her face was uncovered. And we began talking about issues of prayer and religion. And the Christian next to me asked the question about salvation. "Do Muslims have a sense of salvation? How do they understand salvation in your religion? Is it written in the Quran?" And her answer was, "What is salvation?" She had no idea what we were talking about in terms of that word, salvation. Salvation is what truly distinguishes Christianity from all other religions. It is what makes our God different than all other gods, that he brings us something personal. During the presentation, I noticed a significant difference between the Christian God and the Muslim God. The Christian God reveals himself personally and is intimately involved in his creation, in becoming flesh and suffering for us, dying for us, rising for us, showing himself to us personally. But on the other hand, Allah doesn't do that. And they readily admit this. You can never be sure you really know Allah. You can never know him personally. The most you know of Allah is you know his will. You know what he wants you to do. And that is how you know him. So when I asked Mazur, on Judgment Day, which they have the same idea of Judgment Day in their religion, asked her, how do you know God or Allah will be merciful to you on Judgment Day? And she said, well, you don't. The most you can do is you look inside yourself, you pray, you try to do your best, and you hope that on that day, he'll accept your offering. When God sees us coming, he doesn't wait for us to get here. The father was watching as his son was approaching, and he was just a ways off, a few hundred yards, coming down the slope, the gravel path, making his way back to the farm, finally. And when the father saw him, he was so overcome that he didn't wait for his son to get there or say anything, but he sprinted. He ran up that gravel path to meet his son. He hugged him, he kissed him, and he loved him. And when his son said, Father, forgive me. I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. Make me like one of your hired servants. The father was way past that. He said, let's celebrate. And he brought out his best calf and he held a banquet in his son's honor, restoring him to the place he was supposed to be. When you come to church, God sees you coming. He knows your sins before you get here, and he gets to you before you even get to him. He brings you here because he wants to give it to you personally. And what he does is he opens up his word, he hands out the bread and the wine, and in the Lord's Supper, we celebrate. We celebrate God's forgiveness, we celebrate his grace and mercy, and we know God takes things personally. He doesn't just say, you're dead to me. He says, you were dead to me, but now you're alive. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation, Paul writes. Old things have passed away, meaning all the old sins, the old ways, the old thoughts, the old you is gone. And you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. So remember that it's okay to take things personally. When someone sins against you, it's okay to take it personally. When you sin against God, it's okay to take that personally. And why is it personal? Why is it more than just a politician out on TV saying something ridiculous to you? Why is it personal? Because you love that person. And because God loves you. God is in the business of reconciliation. That is his work. He's taken it into his hands to do it all, to reconcile you to himself and all the world. So all you can do is give it to God. In the name of Jesus, amen. We rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.